There it is. How we doing?
One person's good. All right, come on. There we go. Well, school is back. A lot of students, I know a few other areas are about to get back in. Cal State Fullerton starts this week. Hope starts this week. And I know Biola, you guys still get a little more break. What's up with that? But yeah, glad to be here this morning. And we hope that you'll get in a rooted group, and we'll talk more about that. But school is back. It's kind of back to school and getting in the grind. I got to share last week about my oldest daughter going and into kindergarten for the first time. And some of you were like, I'll pray for you this week. And I was like, I need it. So she comes back. She goes off to school, and she's come back, loves it a little too much. I'm a little worried about her. But she comes back, and she starts talking about this boy. And I'm like, okay. And keeps talking about a boy and a boy. So let's just say Pastor is a new owner of a gun right now. I'm just kidding. I bought a gun when she was born. So I'm just kidding. But we're talking about how do we come and follow Jesus. And so today, as we're talking about rooted, how do we get rooted in who Jesus is? And we're going to explore a little this week to give you a heads up. It's almost like preseason. And next week, we'll get into who is God. And so I encourage you as we start the sermon series at this week's preseason. So next week is like week one. Invite somebody. What a great time to invite somebody into a new series and even possibility a rooted group. And if you're not sure about it, we'll explain a little more. But let's go. We're going to go to Matthew 4, verse 19. And we're going to kind of set the story here. As you're turning, we'll have it up on the screens. We also have our big blues in the pews. If you don't have a Bible, take one home. That's our gift to you. And we just hope that you'll read it and get in it. So here's the scene. We're in the Bible, we have actual accounts of the historical figure Jesus. And so we're in the year about 27 to 29 AD, and Jesus is walking around Galilee, and he's walking. Let me even back up one verse. You won't have it up on the screen, but let me set the scene. It says this. He was walking, Jesus, beside the Sea of Galilee, and then he sees two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew, and they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. I love it. It's just really blunt. They were casting a net. Why? Because they're fishermen. Plain, simple, right? Not rocket science. And then Jesus says this, verse 19, we'll have it up on the screen. He says, come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. Jesus breaks down discipleship into three words. Come, follow me. So as we are following Jesus, what does it mean to be a disciple? What does it mean to get rooted? Jesus says, he simply walks up to them and says, come, follow me. And so maybe write that on your notes. Follow Jesus. My job is to go to Jesus, to come, to go along with him, to follow him. And so in these times, Jesus, we have to understand that the disciples recognize Jesus as rabbi, and you see it all throughout the scriptures. And now a rabbi is a teacher of God's word. And so this rabbi comes to them, and they're just normal people. They're fishermen. The Bible describes that we have the guys that end up, the 12 disciples that end up following Jesus are just everyday people. Fishermen, we see here. We have tax collectors. We have a zealot, and a zealot these days could be like a politician. We don't know whether a politician or maybe even a social activist. So Jesus has from a social activist, a politician, to tax collectors who were despised because they had betrayed their fellow Jews and they were giving to the Roman Empire. And then you have just fishermen, common people. And what Jesus says, he says, the rabbi comes to them and says, I want you to follow me. I want you to do what I do and to do the things I do and to go the places I go and treat people like I treat people. And yet what I love, what's so profound in this, it's so simple, but look what Jesus does is brilliant. After he says, come follow me, what he does right here let me read it. He says, and I will send you out to fish for people. Man, and we're in the era of like Twitter and just being able to tweet and being so concise, and sometimes people knock it, but Jesus was clear, concise, and to the point. Come, follow me, and then let me cast a vision where you will go in the future, and I will make you a fisher of all people. I will gather you. I will gather all my people through you. And so if you're taking notes, that we would start with the end in mind. Because in discipleship, if you're going to follow Jesus, what often happens, and maybe you've been a follower for a long time, you can start to get numb. Or life can start to get dull and you can get in a routine of going to church. But I would argue it's maybe because you've lost vision. You've lost vision for what the future could look like. And so what Jesus does, he starts with the end in mind. He says, I will make you, if you follow me, let me tell you the end result. I will make you a fisher of all people. So let's go ahead, let's go to the very end. Let's go to Revelation, the last book in the Bible. We're going to go to the end, and speaking of a vision, this is one of John's disciples, we believe, or one of Jesus' disciples, John, who God reveals to him and writes about the book of Revelation. Revelation has like all these scary misconceptions about it, but when you really break it down, it's simple and beautiful. Let's go to Revelation 7. Start with the end in mind. Verse 9. So John, God gives John this vision, and John gets to tell us about it, and John gets to share this, and he opens this up, and he says this. After this, I looked, and there before me, so he's giving a picture of heaven. He's describing after what happens as the disciples, as we down the road have gathered all people, and he describes this. He says, after this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes. And why white? Because it represents holiness. And later on in the chapter, it describes they became white by dipping their robes in the blood of the Lamb, by the sacrifice of Jesus, that Jesus dies for our sins so that you and I could be restored to him. We're not perfect. I'm not perfect. But Jesus' blood is what washes us and makes us white. And so that's how we come to heaven, by God's grace. And so they're standing there in their white robes representing holiness. And it says this, and they were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels were standing around the throne and the elders, and there were four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. What's painted here is this wonderful picture of what heaven looks like. Worshiping God, being with God. One of the end goals of discipleship, and I would say not only is it the end goal, it's the actual reality. One of the best news, the best things about following Jesus is that you get to be with Jesus. I need an amen there. Amen. One of the very best things that you and I get is that we actually get to be with Jesus. Now, heaven, sometimes we paint it as this picture. It's just floating, you know, on clouds and just, But we actually get to be with God. The God of the universe is there, and we get to worship him, and we get to be with him, and we get to talk with him. And not only, it's not just us, but look who's there. Every tribe, every tongue, every nation, all sorts of people. We need this right now, don't we? In our society, there's voices that are saying a different story. We have to speak against this as the church. We have the alt-right that says one race is better than others. And there is no place for that in the kingdom. There is no place for that in the future of where we are going. God says every tongue, every tribe, every nation, it doesn't matter whether you're rich, you're poor, common, whether you're affluent, it doesn't matter. This message is for anyone, and this message is for everyone. That we are all have the same Father, and that's how we get our name. And so as believers of Jesus, now more than ever, we cannot lose the end. We have to start the vision of the future, what that looks like. And if we lose that vision now, we've lost a voice in society. Our nation needs to hear about God's love. And it needs to be demonstrated in how we love each other and how we treat each other. And when we have the vision in mind, then we come across others that don't look like us, walk like us, talk like us. We have the end in mind and we say, oh, this is somebody I'm going to be with forever. I better start liking them now. I better start treating them with respect now. I better love them. So let's talk about, let's clarify in your notes, you see, let's clarify the word disciple. Because disciple and discipleship can become very convoluted. And if you're like me, maybe you've grown up in church and you've heard this term a lot. And if you haven't grown up in church, what a great Sunday to hear about what does this mean to actually follow Jesus. Jesus invites us. And so you get to hear about this invitation that's for everyone. And so this word discipleship, though, can be confusing. And so how we clarify these terms, it's often we can think, I was like, well, what word do I use? And right now I was thinking, well, student, or I was thinking apprentice. And then I was like, well, that could be, you know, convoluted with politics and different things when we think like the apprentice. And so I'm not going there. But I want us to think about where somebody that really takes on a disciple, somebody that ends up looking like, walking, talking, acting like the person ahead of them. Jesus says that nobody can be greater than their teacher. But Jesus, at the same time, he invites us. The invitation is that you will actually become, you will do the things that I do. My spirit will be on you and you will say things that I say. And so there's this promise in scripture that we have to take hold of and that we have to begin living out. But we need to clarify it and we need to maybe pull back that word discipleship, because for some of us, we have this idea of what discipleship is. The other day, I don't know some of you, I grew up in a Christian home, and my mom was from the South, and so she was proper. And so we couldn't say fart. But it just feels good to say that, because I wasn't able to say that as a kid, right? And some of you aren't laughing. By the way, I learned a statistic. 14 times a day, the average person passes gas. That's kind of, so it's everything we do, so everybody does it. Let's just clear the playing field, all right? So we weren't allowed to say fart at home. My mom said toot. Anyone say toot growing up? Yeah, I mean, we're scarred for life. So, I'd say like toot, and I remember kids making fun of me. So anyway, somehow I still kind of had fun using that word, and I don't impose that on my children now, but sometimes they'll use the word toot. And so we're watching a show, and I'm kind of getting some work done, my wife and I, and our girls are watching this, like, princess show. And the princess is there, and she's needs to learn. And so what they bring in a teacher, and then they said, and now the royal tutor comes in. And my daughter goes, she just gets this little three-year-old gets this belly laugh, the royal tutor. And she's just, like, dying. And I'm like, oh, okay, not the royal tutor. Like, we have, your sister's the royal tutor, but I was like, you don't understand. Let me teach you what tutor means. It's somebody that teaches you something. She's like, oh. She was thinking the royal tutor. And so I was like, no, let's define these terms. And I feel like that's us. We need to define the terms. We're thinking royal tutor. We're thinking discipleship can sometimes, in our society, we think it's just sit down and it's just school. It's a student. It's in the pews and just receive. But that's the very opposite of what Jesus says. He doesn't say, come and follow me. And now we might even think follow me like Instagram. Jesus doesn't just say, hey, I'm going to say some great quotes. If you could you like them? Just a little double tap. I could use a few likes, a few hearts. I mean, if I say something really deep and moving and have a picture of somebody really attractive on there, I mean, would it be too much? Could you lift your thumb and just tap it twice? Could you do that for me? But what he's asking for, he says, no, I want you to follow me. I want your whole life. I don't want you just to be like, yeah, that's good. Because sometimes I think in Christianity, we can sit in the cheap seats, that we can be off in the background, we can be high up, and not really, you know, in a stadium, you ever been way high up where you need the binoculars, and then you're just looking down. Sometimes we can treat Christianity like the cheap seats, that we're off in the distance, and we're not really involved, and we're not really there in the game. Jesus says, I want you to come in, and I want you, it's not just a cognitive thing, but it's actually, you get to do it. It's something, now let me clarify this. How you get into the kingdom, it's by grace alone. It's by believing that Jesus died and rose again. There's nothing more to that. That's how you're accepted, and that's how you're welcome into the kingdom. But Jesus calls us on a mission far greater than that. He doesn't want us just to like and accept, but he invites us. The God of the universe invites you and invites me to come, to follow him. Think about this. What did Jesus, let's look at Jesus's life. He said, follow me to these disciples. So imagine what these disciples got to see. They got to walk with him. What did Jesus do when he walked? When he walked, he taught. He taught people. And I often, sometimes it's good. I just encourage you, maybe go for a walk with a spouse, a friend, and talk about Jesus. Sometimes we make it too intense and sit. And Jesus often just walked. He ate meals and shared about God's love. Enjoy God. Share with others. And so the disciples got to walk along. And what did they see? Sometimes they would be going place to place. And Jesus stopped. There was a woman. There's an account of a woman reaches out to Jesus who is sick. And Jesus stops the whole crowd, the whole movement. And he heals this woman. He takes time. So the disciples get to see this as they walk with Jesus. They got to sit with Jesus. Who did Jesus sit with? He sat with those who were described as sinners and tax collectors, the outcast. And so Jesus sat down with them, and the religious people were saying, how could you be associated with that group? And that's who Jesus was there. And so the disciples were kind of brought into the controversy because they were with them. And so then they got to see how Jesus loved them, who he sat with. And when the disciples sat together, there's description of they would lean against Jesus. They would be with him. Jesus was affectionate towards them. He loved them. And so he would sit down with them. They would get to see Jesus pray. He would get up in the morning before sunrise and go and pray. The God of the universe who still needs to be in community, God and living Trinity together, and he needs to communicate to the Father, and he said, I can't start my day without it. And so Jesus goes and he prays, and the disciples get to witness this. Probably as they were lying in bed, waking, you know, just one eye up, like, oh man, Jesus is doing it again. But then they would see the need and the importance of it and pray. Imagine Jesus as he was up on that cross and he's being crucified and he prayed. Who did he pray for? He prayed for those who were persecuting him, those who put him on the cross. He says, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. So, I mean, imagine that. What everybody got to witness that followed Jesus, this forgiveness, this love towards all people. Think about who he talked with. They got to speak with the people that he spoke with. And so Jesus comes in. Jesus is speaking to a woman at the well. And you can find this in John. And what we have in this story is Jesus is speaking to this woman who, in their society, she had 3 strikes against her. She was a woman who had many husbands. And in fact, she was so embarrassed, she would not go out and she wouldn't be seen in public with other people because she was ashamed of her past. She was considered by what the Jews would consider an inferior race. And so here she has this, another strike against her. So she's got her past, she's got her race, and then just the fact that she's a woman in that society that they held a lower position in class, and so you wouldn't just speak with a woman. Yet what does Jesus do? Jesus destroys all 3 of those barriers. and he's speaking to this woman, and he's pointing her to life, and he's showing her his love for her. And so the disciples come in, and they're kind of thrown in this awkward situation because they know what the rest of society says. Oh, you shouldn't talk to that woman. You shouldn't this and that and this. And Jesus is like, get in the mix. Here we are. Society says don't love her, but she has to be loved. And so the disciples were thrown in the middle of this. And so that's what it means to follow Jesus, to do what he's doing, to pray like he's praying, to walk as he's walking, to forgive as he's forgiving, to break down barriers as Jesus broke down barriers. Now, you might be sitting here and saying, well, that was good for the disciples, but what about me? What do I do in this day and age? And if you're taking notes, I want you to put on that next one, our next step is to get rooted. We want to hear together. We want to get rooted together. And I'll explain more in just a moment. It's so much more than just a program. It's more than simply just a class. Because here's what I want to protect. Pastor Brian will be out there with the books. Don't just go and buy a book and say, oh, I can do this on my own. Because you could read the information, download the information, but it's so much more than that. Because what God invites us into, he wants us to come together and to hear from other people's experiences, to know and understand what other people are thinking. And maybe you can relate to, we went out to one of our sister churches, and we got to see Rooted kind of being done for, they've done it for a couple years now. And so we got to see kind of their third cycle of doing this, and we're having a conversation. There was our board and a few others that wanted to see Rooted kind of play out here. And so we're having conversations, and there's this one guy that he's in his 70s, and he starts to tell us the story. He said, you know what? When Rooted came out, he said, I didn't want anything to do with it. He says, I've been in discipleship programs. I've done this my whole life. I don't need another class. And then his life group leader said, hey, in order for you to lead another life group, you have to go through this. He's like, I've been on the board, I've been a treasurer, I've been all these things. Why do I need this? And so he said, you got to do it. So reluctantly, he goes through the class. It talks about kind of some of the basics of our faith. But what he said, it wasn't new information, but it, man, reminded me of the good things that God has done. And two, it gave me language to invite others in to what God is doing. It gave me a language in how do I share God's love, who God is, with others. And so he said it transformed his life because now he was bringing others along that were new in the faith. And he said his life was just kind of turned upside down. He said, I didn't want to do this class, but now I'm going to teach this class again and again because this man caught the vision of what it is to be a follower of Jesus. Following Jesus isn't just about yourself. Jesus says, come follow me and I will make you fishers of people. There are other people that need to hear about this message. There are other people that need to be spoken to the way Jesus spoke to them. And it doesn't happen if it just all stays with you. There's this quote, Michael Slaughter says this, if we can pull it up, a Christian writer says, faith is a journey of ascent. Our danger is rationalization, telling ourselves that we can live at the top of the mountain without the climb. That we have this journey, it is difficult. Jesus says to count the cost. Getting in a rooted group, getting in community and life can be challenging. It's not easy. Yet, if we think that it's just about learning and it's just about what we accumulate, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. And so what we want to do is get away from just the head. We want to realize that what God teaches us is so important. But if we're actually going to follow Jesus, we need to follow him and begin to show others what it means to live like Jesus lived. Now, here's the thing. You and I might say, well, that was good for the disciples, but what about me? Jesus has this promise. He promises, he's sitting down with his disciples, and he says, do you know what? It's actually better that I leave than for me to stay. I mean, imagine this. Imagine Peter, who was sitting here, and when they went to capture Jesus, Jesus pulled out a sword and just started, they just started cutting people. And Jesus says, put down your sword. This movement is not about the bringing the sword. What I'm doing is much greater than that. And so Peter gets corrected. It's like, oh yeah. Wouldn't that be nice when you make a mistake and Jesus is just always right there? Hey, don't do that. Shouldn't say that. But Jesus leads. And so, I mean, imagine the disciples. All of a sudden, their best mentor, their tutor is leaving. And Jesus says this, it is better for me to leave than to stay here. Why? Because he promises this. He says, I am going to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send you the great counselor, and he will give you wisdom and where you need wisdom. We sang that song, Give Me Vision. As we're looking to the future, give me wisdom when I don't know what to do. God, we look to you. And as we look to God, we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. I want to end with this. As these ordinary men were called, fishermen, tax collectors, imagine that, an IRS agent. We chuckle. An IRS agent, a social activist. You have these group of men, just everyday people, and yet in Acts 17:6, they come before courts, and what they're saying is, these men have turned the whole world upside down. They've disturbed the whole world. Everybody's talking about this Jesus that they're talking about. This Jesus is transforming people's lives. And in today's society, more than ever, we need more of Jesus' love, don't we? We need it. There's people in our society that need to hear it. And the way we can turn the world upside down is by sharing others, by following Jesus and inviting them in to and walking like Jesus did and showing them God's love. These ordinary men, ordinary women, people go on to change the world. To change the world, women in our society that have heard this message, and that's what Jesus does. He transforms, yes, the disciples are men, but you hear Jesus empowers women, and he gives them a voice, and they begin to go and share. And you have accounts of Lydia and these group of house churches. You have this movement that ends up happening, and let me end with this. As we look at getting rooted in Acts chapter 2, turn with me there. We mentioned this just a little bit the other week. So the Holy Spirit comes. So this is the promise that Jesus gives. The Holy Spirit will come. And as the Spirit falls down, this begins to happen. Lives are being transformed. Verse 42 says this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. And then all the believers were together, like we are now, had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. All people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. There's a beautiful picture. The Spirit falls. Let me tell you this. We're talking about rooted, but it's not about rooted. Rooted is an opportunity for us to get together. And it won't be easy. And so maybe we have to clear our schedules for 10 weeks. But Jesus says, I want you to count the cost. If you're going to follow me, it's not going to be easy. I invite everybody and anybody, but it will be difficult. But he says this, but the beautiful picture that begins to happen, the Spirit falls. So what? It's not rooted, but what is it? It's the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Spirit comes on, and when the Spirit is there, that they begin sharing. They're meeting together. You have to be together. We have to encourage each other. I still, to this day, am encouraged by my wife, the way she wakes up every morning and she spends time coffee and in God's word, just being with Jesus. It's something about being connected to her. I watch her and follow Jesus, and it inspires me. We need to see that. You don't have to be married to have that happen. You can have that happen in your life group, in your rooted group, as you share what God's doing in your life, not to impress people, but to encourage each other. Because if the power of the Holy Spirit is inside of us, then we begin to activate each other. It's like fire growing. So it isn't rooted that's going to fix our lives or rooted that will cause a revival. It will be the Holy Spirit. It's not just for 2,000 years ago, this group of radical people that got together and started sharing stuff. The Spirit is alive and well today. Jesus said, do you know what he said right before he left? Right before he goes, he says, therefore go. He commissions, his second commission, his final commission, the great commission to his disciples. He says, therefore go and make disciples, what? Of all nations. I hope you're hearing that theme here this morning. All nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them everything that I have commanded you. And then he makes this promise. He says, and I will be with you always. Always. He promised to never leave us. He promised to give us the Spirit to be inside of us. And when we get together, there's something that happens. Prayer begins to happen as they're praying. People were getting healed. People that were in poverty were coming. They were being taken care of. Friends, this wasn't just for 2,000 years ago. This is for today. And it can begin this way. This was just the beginning of the church. Imagine what can begin to happen when we begin to follow Jesus and trust him and pray together and meet together and ask, how can we make change in our society? There's certain voices that are saying hate certain groups. And no, we can say, that's not right. We are to love all people. And we are to open up our nets, to open up our doors, and to share God's love with anybody and everybody. To treat them with the respect that they deserve. That can begin to go out in our cities and our homes. And man, we need it. We need it. What a beautiful picture heaven is. It goes on to say, every tear will be wiped away. There's pain in our world right now, like never before. There are people that are hurting. May we walk alongside them. And it won't happen if we just go out by ourselves. We have to get rooted in who God is and his love, and being so deeply rooted in God's love that we will go out and change our cities and change our homes and change our own lives. It starts as Jesus invites, come. Follow me. Will you follow him this morning? Let's pray. Father, we do look to you. Lord, you, that's where our help comes from. We cry out to you. God, would you change us? Would you call us to follow you? It's not easy. We don't always know what to do. Lord, maybe forgive us this morning. We've maybe just missed out onto the greatness that you've called us to. Holy Spirit, would you fall afresh in our lives? Would you fall here this morning on us? Would you give us the power? Would you give us the strength to stand up? Would you give us the courage to love others that are different than us? Lord, may we see the vision of the future of a community. Lord, you love all your children. Forgive us for the ways that we have showed hate towards others. Lord, forgive us for even in the church that we have continued these ways. Lord, may you pull back the veil. May you show us in ways that we need to grow. And Lord, may it just be as simple as following you. May we take a simple step and follow you and sign up for a life group to follow you this week, to spend time with you, to walk as you walked. Jesus, we look to you. When we fall and stumble, may you pick us up and may we follow you by your strength, by your power, and by your might. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.